He covers the Chiefs.
With that, time's yours.
And you're in that place where you're in the playoffs.
He covers the Royals.
Flair, over there in the middle, on the left.
Salvador, just take us through your emotions.
He covers college sports.
But one great thing about the conference tournament, where I think it gives teams hope.
And every now and then, he likes a good laugh.
Make them laugh, make them laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh?
He's Blair Kirkhoff of the Kansas City Star on the program.
Yes, indeed. We're broadcasting live here in Lawrence. Always great to come to Lawrence. The people are so great. So many folks have stopped by and said hello. We really appreciate that. We're at 3140 Iowa Street at Mr. Brew's Tap House. Great local location where you can come down and get yourself some great beers. 12 Oktoberfest beers on tap. Their OP location has 8 on tap. Take advantage. Kids eat free with the hot dogs, free hot dogs for the kids today only. Take advantage of it. You know, all throughout the football season, you can get a 22-ounce draft beer for $5 and get 6 wings and a 22-ounce draft on Chiefs game days for just $10. Listen, I don't know if you've seen the price of wings. There's a wing shortage going on right now. Apparently there's a chicken strike or something. They're refusing to grow wings. I'm not sure how this works, but there is a wing shortage. This is the best deal going. 6 wings and a 22-ounce draft. Every Chiefs game day, stop on by Mr. Brew's Tap House, 3104 Iowa in Lawrence. It is Oktoberfest going on all the way through October. And, of course, check out the OP location as well. Mr. Brew's Tap House, great people, locally owned and operated, and always enjoying the wonderful, wonderful Oktoberfest brews. You can get them at Mr. Brew's Tap House. Both locations are absolutely fantastic and will take care of you the way they've taken care of us. And so many T-Box came by, guys, and said hello. We've had a bunch of great people coming by here. So come on out if you're in Lawrence. We'd love to see you. If you're in KC, go over to OP and enjoy you some Oktoberfest beers right now at the Mr. Brew's Tap House. We're at 3140 Iowa Street. We welcome in one Blair Kirkhoff to the program. Blair, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I'm jealous that I'm not with you today at Mr. Brew's. That sounds great.
We are out on the patio. You could not get a better day than we've got today. It is absolutely fantastic. And then, of course, Rudy now starting in on beer number 25. He's vowed all 12 Oktoberfest beers each hour, every hour that we're here in the show. If you do see the Sports Radio 810 van headed home tonight, be careful. I'm suggesting he get a hotel here. I'm thinking that's going to go that way. Beer number 25. Rudy, how you holding up? He's going to sleep in the cruiser, he says. So there it is.
Rudy said 25.
Yeah. And by the way, $8.10 right now and while we're here. And I got to check. Can you check if it's all night or just while we're here? $8.10 gets you a beer-braised bratwurst, choice of chips, fries, or, Blair, choose their cup of spatzel served with either cheese sauce and fried onions or a hollandaise brown gravy. Get that for just $8.10. And like I said, bring the kids, free hot dog for the kids. Great special. Of course, check out those Oktoberfest beers. It's as good as it gets right here at Mr. Brew's Tap House. So thanks to all the folks here at Mr. Brew's.
I'll give you my jam there. Kentucky Bourbon Classic Burger. I get mine well done. And the Pub Grub.
And by the way, anybody hating on Curtis for the well done, just shut your mouth.
Yeah, stop it.
When we order things well done, we don't make you eat it. So shut up. All day. So the 8:10, I want to make sure you can get it. If you can't get here by 6 o'clock when we leave, that's okay. You can enjoy it tonight. Beer braised bratwurst, choice of chips or fries, or go with the spatzel. Come on. Go with the spirit of what's going on. Either the cheese sauce and fried onions on it or the hollandaise brown gravy. It's a great deal. It's $8.10. Kids get a hot dog free today, so come on by Mr. Brew's Tap House in Lawrence. Blair Kirkhoff brought to you by our friends at Brogdon, Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. Blair, what do you make of the I got to look down at what I had on my list first. I know the local ones, but the 12-team playoff meeting getting tabled. This basically, I don't think it's unexpected, but it's officially – it was the worst Zoom press conference we've ever seen, but the coalition of the Pac-12, ACC, and Big Ten did exactly what they wanted. This was supposed to be a formality, voting in the new 12-team playoff. We were supposed to be off and running with that, and that's not going to be the case. This is, they accomplished exactly what they wanted to accomplish, right?
Yeah, they did, and you're right. That was, remember that the that freak show that was that Zoom call of the commissioners. But that's when we learned that all the excitement over the expanding the playoff from 4 to 12 teams that had built up over the previous few weeks kind of crumbled that day, and it was kind of the show of muscle from those three conferences combined that they weren't going to let a committee that was headed by the SEC and the Big 12 commissioners to dictate the future bracket. Now, I think if Texas and Oklahoma hadn't gone to the SEC or it hadn't been revealed that they were going to go to the SEC, none of this would have happened. But at that point, those three conferences felt threatened enough that they were going to assert their influence and say, we're going to put the brakes on this for now. It's not going to happen before the end of the current contract, which I think, like everything else, goes through 24-25, so another few years, the 4-team playoff. But a 12-team playoff is going to happen. I'm pretty sure it'll happen eventually. There was enough agreement on it before the Oklahoma and Texas move was revealed that this was just a matter of those three conferences saying, hey, let's go back. Let's reconsider it a little more. Let's not just dive into the pool here. Let's consider it. But I think at the end, we're going to get the 12-team playoff. We're just going to get it when it was probably originally scheduled, which is, whatever that is, 2025, 26. I don't know what the first year would be.
Do they, the coalition, fire out and start making some demands? What are they, like, not that there's going to be a backlash and no one's going to go to their schools if they don't do this right. I don't think that's the case. But, like, what do they want?
Well,
right, they're going to back off. And I think what they want now is they're recognizing, okay, you had us all agree to unlimited number of teams, which is what the SEC wanted. And like
right.
you said, they should have waited till it was voted on and official. They didn't. They didn't factor this in. It's clearly a miscalculation on the part of the SEC of letting the OU and Texas thing come out when it did, because they gained nothing as far as getting them quicker. It's all about the grant of rights, whether they waited until the vote had happened now and then announced OU and Texas, right? They would still have been coming at the same time. Nothing would have changed. So yep. This was just blatant. Let's call it. I mean, the SEC does a lot of things right. We know, Blair. It
yep.
matters more.
It does.
The SEC. But this was unequivocally a stupid decision by the SEC because they had exactly what they wanted, unlimited access based upon whatever the committee was going to give them, unlimited number of teams into this, well, limited only by, the mandatories from the other, other leagues. So what did that make it, seven?
Well, just think of it this way. It was the top six rated conference champions and then six more at-larges. Now, there was no limit on the conferences where those at-larges could come from.
Right.
They could be
so
all
seven.
Yeah, seven. Seven
would maximize it. If they just held their water, the dumbasses, until the vote was official, they would have exactly what they wanted. But because they just couldn't wait to go, ha, we got one on you. Now everybody said, whoa, wait a minute. They're going to add Texas and OU to this? Like that does smell a lot like four or five SEC teams. Let's put the brakes on this. And I believe that there will be a limit put on how many a conference can have before this thing gets ratified. Do you agree?
There might be. I was told when I was down at Big 12 Media Days, I was told by a commissioner, well, Bob Bowlesby, that the SEC would not have agreed to the 12-team.
By the way, Curtis, make a note, if you're ever going to be a source of Blair's, like, don't.
Yeah.
Because he's just going to put it out there.
I'm just going through my text with Blair the last couple of weeks going, did I say anything?
Clearly an on-the-record conversation with Blair,
it was.
So I'm just having fun.
It was. But he was the one that said he didn't think the SEC would go along with it unless there could be the no limit on the number of at-large teams from one conference. So that's kind of how it expanded from, okay, let's it's at four now, maybe eight, and then now 12 seemed to be a better number because it could be – more inclusive with 12, or seemingly more inclusive with 12. So I think it's going to end up being 12. 12 works. I mean, everybody was when the news came out of the expanded playoff. I didn't hear much pushback. The only pushback that I heard was, this many number of extra games for the athletes. And I still think that's a consideration worth discussing, and schools have to work through that. But everybody was excited about a 12-team playoff, and even applied it to previous years, what we could have had. Remember we did that with, how many times Missouri would have been in it or Kansas State would have been in it in the last, or at least in the BCS era. We all had, even Kansas one year would have been in the 12-team playoff, that 07 season. So I think when it's all said and done, it'll be there at 12. Now, one of the other reasons for waiting was if they went ahead with a 12-team playoff before the end of the current 4-team playoff contract, it automatically goes to ESPN. All the games go to ESPN. And the other conferences, in which, the Big Ten has a relationship with Fox and the Pac-12 has a big relationship with Fox, said, well, wait a second, let's get Fox and maybe other networks interested in this event, and maybe we can really monetize this instead of having ESPN cover the whole thing.
Were they sitting on their brain when the original conversation came out and they couldn't have had that thought until OU and Texas went? Like, why did that suddenly spur the idea of let's get more money?
Well, you're right, because that thought wasn't revealed by anyone until after all of this happened, all the Texas OU news happened. So, maybe people in the media were asleep at the wheel and didn't think of in those terms originally, but it took that Zoom call from the three commissioners to say that for us to think, that's probably a pretty good point. There's more money to be made if there's a bidding process for this event than just to have ESPN have it grandfathered in for ESPN. And think about this. CBS is going to lose the SEC and that great time slot, right? That Saturday afternoon at whatever it is, 2:30, 3:30, that great time slot. So CBS isn't going to have any college football here pretty soon. So they might be interested in bidding as well. NBC only has Notre Dame. So there's been some talk about this thing might end up being a big cash cow, bigger than it would have been had it just been ESPN.
Yeah, and there's all the streaming services,
sure, for sure,
and everything like that. That can be a part of it. You do agree with me that we will get a cap, though, that they're not going to leave it uncapped this time, that like three will be it? You can't get more than three?
I don't know if there'll be that kind of cap. If there's a cap, I think it would be beyond three. I think four, just an initial reaction would be four would make more sense to me. Right now, a conference can have, there is no limit, right? The whole thing could be from one conference if you wanted it. There is no limit. You could have four SEC teams or four Big Ten teams in the college football playoff right now. The 12 team guarantees the SEC champion and five other conference champions. So, and again, historically, I don't know how many times you would have had more than three or four from the SEC in a 12-team playoff. If you go back and look over the last few years, I just don't think there would be that many. They simply, they do. We all kind of laugh at their non-conference schedules, and they don't take L's there, but they do take enough L's by playing each other. Auburn, Alabama in the SEC championship game, Georgia and Florida, and one of those teams in the SEC title game. That I don't see where there would be more than three or four teams from the SEC that would be voted into as an at-large into a 12-team college football playoff. And that's another point. It's a committee that's going to determine this. A group of athletic directors and former officials, former coaches, they'll have the final say on who gets in. And if they think a 9-3 SEC team versus a 10-2 ACC or Big 12 team it should be measured up, who knows how they're going to decide that?
What would be worth more money, an SEC, four team, like a semifinals and finals, or a 12-team playoff with every other league in it?
The latter, of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So why not?
Go ahead.
Sorry, Blair. I apologize there. For folks listening, there's a little bit of a delay between me and Blair. It makes it harder for us to time things out. But my point is this. Like, you clearly got your nose bloodied. Strike back. Right? Like what is the SEC going to do to you if you throw some rules down that they don't like? Are they going to take their ball and go home? I say no.
They won't.
Because
they can't. There's no place to go, right? I mean, you can call the SEC championship the national championship, and often it is, you know. But no, if they want to be part of the 12-team football playoff, and of course they do, they live for it because it just means more. I think that they would come around on the idea of capping the number of at-larges from one conference. Whether it's in the rule book or understood, I don't think there are many instances where we can go back and see where the fifth team in the SEC was one of the 12 best teams available for a college football playoff. Now, you know, there may be the fifth SEC team might be better than two or three of the automatic conference champions. You know, the Big 12 champ, the Pac-12 champ, the American champ. You could have the fifth place SEC team be better than that, but it wouldn't be. I just don't think that team would be into a 12 team college football playoff.
Yeah, interesting. We're talking to Blair Kirkhoff here in the program. If the Big 12 doesn't get into this coalition, you know, is that some sign? Like, I mean, right now they're not. I think most people would say, well, they're not going to get it. But if you look at where they sit in the standings, I was having this conversation with some of the folks here at Mr. Brew's Tap House about where they sit. You know, the ACC only has two schools in the top 25.
Well, the Big 12 only has three, and it's because Kansas State's 25.
Well, it has what three?
Oklahoma, Iowa State, and K-State.
Okay, so Iowa State, K-State, Cincinnati – If we look to the future. Yeah,
that's right. Cincinnati's in the top 10, right? They're seventh or eighth.
Yeah.
Right, in the eight people.
If we look to the future, you can throw in Cincinnati into that mix, BYU at 15. So that's four schools that are in the top 25. The Pac-12 has, what, Oregon at three, and...
Did UCLA crawl back in, sneak back in this week?
Yeah, they're at 24.
Yeah.
They have two. I mean, yeah, listen.
So in a 12-team playoff, you know, let's just assume that the highest-ranked team would be the conference champion, right? So Oregon would be in the 12-team playoff. Oklahoma would be in the 12-team playoff. And as at-larges, Cincinnati and where's Iowa State this week? 13th or 14th. 14th would be on the right on the cusp of being in a 12-team playoff. Well, listen. Obviously, Oklahoma's in the SEC now, so we got to remove that. So Cincinnati would be in as the Big 12 champ. Iowa State, right on the edge of being an at-large team from the Big 12, being in a 12-team playoff.
But if you had a conference championship game, theoretically, and maybe Iowa State doesn't, or maybe Cincinnati doesn't make it. I mean, I think you've got a pretty good shot to get two in. I don't think you're going to get three or four. My point just is, the ACC and the Pac-12, they've got more money. They're bigger institutions, more traditional institutions, but I don't know that their quality of football is any better.
Well, how do we measure that, right? And historically, what do we do to measure that?
Historically, they're going to win,
yeah,
right?
But over time, yes, over time. They have more NFL draft, you know, draftees. And the way you look at it is, how do they, you know, non-conference victories over other, you know, similar conferences, right? And bowl, in some cases, bowl victories, although sometimes you can't measure that. That's how I measure it. The best conference, it's not always, you know, who has the best bowl record. It's really when the NFL draft comes around, who's sending the most players into the league. And in September and October during non-conference season, when everybody's playing for positioning, you know, who's coming out on top in those games.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm just trying to say that, you know, there was such, oh, my God, we lost Texas and Oklahoma. And I think you look at it, the SEC is better, and but when you look around at the other leagues, like the Big Ten is better. But you know, this whole idea that the ACC and Pac-12 have anything more to offer, really, they have more eyeballs, that, and I get it.
They do.
That's where the dollars are and everything. But at some point, I'm not so sure that the Big 12 doesn't rise up in standing, at least to the ACC and Pac-12.
Certainly the Pac-12. Absolutely, and the Pac-12.
And I don't know that, like, maybe the coalition doesn't break down. If the SEC were wise, what they would have done is buddy-buddied up with the Big Ten.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. So if we took this week's rankings, right, just if you got it in front of you, the AP
I do.
Top 25. All right, let's just say, you know, let's give the highest-ranked team from a conference, make them the conference champion. So what would we have? We'd have Alabama as the SEC champ, Clemson is the ACC champ, Oregon is the Pac-12, and let's put Oklahoma in the SEC. So Cincinnati would be the Big 12 champ, and Ohio State the Big 10 champ, right?
Right.
All right, so now let's take at-larges from the rest. And you tell me who's in the top, you know, after those, who are the highest-ranked teams?
Based on their new conferences, right?
Yeah, based on new conferences.
Okay, so we would have Georgia.
SEC.
OU.
SEC, yep.
Iowa.
Big Ten. That's three.
Wait a minute, do we have... No, Iowa was the conference champ, right?
No, Ohio State. Isn't Ohio State ahead of Iowa?
No, I was fine.
In fact, Ohio
State's third in the Big Ten.
Okay.
In the rankings.
Iowa would be the conference champ, and Penn State is the first at-large.
Okay, so Penn State's our third at-large team.
Yep. Two SEC, Texas A&M, based on the new...
A fourth team and a third from the SEC.
Right. Clemson.
ACC, and that's our fifth team.
No, they were actually ACC champs.
They were the ACC champ.
So then we do get down to Ohio State.
All right. So a second Big Ten team and number five, so we only have one spot left.
Florida.
Wow. Okay, that's five from the SEC.
And I think they're going to put the kibosh on that. And frankly, I don't think it's accurate.
Well, what tends to happen at the end of the year, so you know, Florida and Georgia will end up playing, right? And Alabama and Texas A&M in the regular season, and then the SEC championship game. And losers of those games will fall, while you know they'll get passed in the polls, and I think in public perception, and a committee will figure that out as well.
I just think, and they will beat each other up. And the question is, are they going to take a 9-3 Texas A&M over an 11-1 BYU? That's played a Big 12 schedule, you know, what the new Big 12 would be. And you know, listen, time will tell. We'll see. I'm going to say this. The one thing that all these leagues have to do is win in the playoffs, right? Because, you know, I'll tell you why Syracuse keeps getting into the damn NCAA tournament when their case is no better than many, many other schools is. When they let Boeheim's ragtag half-ass bunch into the tournament, they keep going to the Sweet 16.
That's right. They do. They're
right, so it's kind of like, well, we know they're going to do some damage. They must be the better team, so let's put them in there. Like, they need, and now you don't need OU, but, like, OU to not just get there to win, right, in the past. Well, now these other leagues need to, if Oregon's going to get in there, they need to do some damage and not just get in there and fall on their sword to watch Georgia and Alabama rematch.
Yeah, well, that's not happened in the four-team playoff, right? I mean, it's,
right.
That's why we have Alabama and Clemson, you know, for the championship with Ohio State, Oklahoma, always in the, you know, in the Final Four. And we just haven't had that variety or success of others, you know. So we look at, I mean, if you throw out the first championship of the 14 playoff when Ohio State beat Oregon, remember that was Ezekiel Elliott over Marcus Mariota. Yeah, 14. So Oregon was in the championship game that year. Well, since then, it really has been a steady diet of two teams. Alabama and Clemson, I think, have met three times in the championship and a fourth time in a semifinal. Mm. So it's and that's not to say that those two programs won't thrive in a 12-team playoff, but at least they won't be playing each other every game, and you'll have other winners. You'll have teams in the You know, if four schools get a bye in the 12-team playoff, you'll have a 5 versus 12. And you'll have, you know, opportunities for other schools to win in the playoffs. And I think that will all essentially be good for college football. And let me say one other thing about this, Seren. We talk about this with other sports, right? NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, what percentage of their teams get to play in the postseason, right? It's close to 50 in some of the sports, and between 40 and 50 in just about all of them. Well, in college football, right now it's 4 out of 130 that get to play in the playoff, and 12 doesn't make it much better. But I think it'll make it better enough that people will think that they'll have a true representative of a college football champion with a 12-team playoff.
Blair, you forget about the incredible bowl experience of going to Shreveport and playing in front of an empty stadium.
In the cold rain.
Yeah. By the way, I think that's the underreported story of last year, is how college football, their upper half of college football, really weren't affected by COVID because they're used to playing in empty stadiums. They do it every bowl season when they play in front of an empty stadium. But I digress. Blair Kirchhoff is with us here in the program. We will take a break, come back, talk about one thing I want to get to. We'll talk about Eli Drinkwitz's seeming disdain for playing this Boston College game. One of the fun things about college football, coaches going and playing games they had nothing to do with scheduling in college football. So we'll talk about that. I also want to get into what does Kansas need to do if there is going to be an ACC, Pac-12, Big Ten, a league with its head on a swivel, what they need to do to make it happen. I think we got a little bit of an indicator a couple of days ago. We'll talk about that next with Blair Kirchhoff. He's brought to you by Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. I'm broadcasting live. And Mr. Brew's Tap House, I'm at the Lawrence location, 3140 Iowa Street. $8.10 gets you a beer, braised bratwurst, choice of chips, fries, or choose the cup of spatzel. It's a German delicacy is what it is, served with either cheese sauce and fried onions or the hollandaise brown gravy. Kids, they can enjoy a free hot dog today only as well. 810 gets you that special. Don't forget, every game day, get 6 wings and a 22-ounce draft for just $10. It's at Mr. Brew's Tap House.
The Program with Seren Petro.
If you disappear forever, it wouldn't make any difference.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour answer. The late, great Marty Schottenheimer would have been 78 today. He coached 21 seasons in the NFL. How many times did he have a losing record?
Never, right? He 8-8 with the football team, I think, was the worst one. Or did he have one with Cleveland? He goes 7-9 with Cleveland and actually make the playoffs. I'm going to say one.
He had two, actually.
Oh.
He was 7-9 his final year with the Chiefs, and then he was 4-12 with the Chargers. And I, in looking through his numbers, I actually found what I think would have been a better question than one I wished I would have asked: who has the best record for any NFL coach in their final year as a coach? He was 14-2 going out the door with the Chargers in 2006. Might have gone to a Super Bowl, but the interception fumble game out in San Diego, just fall on the ball and you're good. You're hosting the AFC Championship game. They lost that game. The Patriots went on, and that was Marty's last game as a head coach.
And that was not a Patriots Super Bowl team.
No.
They
lost to the Colts in the conference championship game in that crazy game out in Indy.
Yep.
Well, as we know, it ended up being a great move to fire Marty. The Chargers just went on to, four championships.
to dominate.
Yeah, smart thinking, fellas, smart thinking. It is the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, Joe's Kansas City Barbecue, what we just gave away right there. Wonderful Joe's. You can grab that on your way home tonight. Joe'sKC.com. Send it anywhere in the country. Don't forget for your tailgates. Joe's got you covered. Friday night, Saturday night, get in there late Saturday. Grab you a spread. The meat sold by the pounds. So many great side dishes. If you want the ultimate tailgate, it starts by either calling Joe's or going to Joe's KC, 47th Division, 119th and Strangline, and 117th and Road. Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. We are on the road today. Another great local eatery, Mr. Brew's Tap House. Great brews for you to choose from. It's Oktoberfest, and they are celebrating. You're the winner. Congratulations, both in OP and here in Lawrence today. Get a beer, braised bratwurst, choice of chips, fries, or you can choose a cup of the spatzel. with the cheese sauce and fried onions or the Hollandaise brown gravy. The kids can get a free hot dog today only as well. Make sure that kids hot dog, I thought I saw a sign that said that goes beyond today. Can you ask about that, the free kids hot dog? Because I thought I saw a sign. I don't want to, if somebody's like, damn it, I can't get there today, and my kid loves hot dogs. You know, because I've said it a million times. Damn, where can I get my kid a free hot dog? Right? Like, how many times have you said that, Blair? You're a father.
I still say it. Kids are.
I've said it about myself.
Yeah. This morning, I was leaving. My wife said, whose ass do I have to kick around here to get a free hot dog for my kid? October 3rd through October 3rd. So I thought I saw that. So today through October 3rd, kids can get a free hot dog. So get the kids and come on over. I'll get you some Spatzel. Have you ever had Spatzel?
I have not had Spatzel. I'm curious.
Is it because you're not man enough?
Apparently. If okay. I had to guess,
it would,
yes.
It would appear.
Yeah. I appreciate the honesty, Blair. I really do.
I mean, I've turned food with a spatula, but I have not had Spatzel.
I think you should check it out. I think you would enjoy it. Get it. I'm going to go with the cheese and fried onions.
Well, anything that includes cheese and fried onions, I will.
It's a good combo.
German egg noodle dumplings.
Oh, that's actually nice. Sounds pretty good, mm-hmm. actually.
It does.
I looked it up. They're the perfect side dish to go with all your Bavarian favorites.
Okay. Well, yeah. I'm curious now. I'm going to explore this this German cuisine.
Says a great dish to include in any German or Oktoberfest-themed dinner party. You know, so Curtis loves to throw him a German-themed dinner party.
I do. I just run around in lederhosen the whole day.
Yeah.
It's just me.
Wow.
I just do it for my own enjoyment.
Yep. That's
freeze me.
That's the beginning of a horror movie, isn't it, Blair?
It is. Ain't nobody want to see me in lederhosen.
Just got to chill.
Clockwork Orange Part yeah. 2 starts with Curtis Siebold dancing around in lederhosen. Let's get that thought out of our mind as quick as we can.
Let's move forward.
Yes. Blair,
my droogs are not happy about that.
Yeah, Northwestern is going to upgrade significantly their football stadium. They got a $480 million donation from, and it doesn't mean that it's going to be a $480 million upgrade, but from this $480 million donation, that one of their billionaire owners, Ryan, made his money in the insurance world.
That's the name of their stadium, too. It's Ryan Field, I think.
Yeah, guy's worth $3.1 billion. He's going to donate $480 million, which I pointed out, that's usually like, you know, $24 million over 20 years each year. They don't usually write a check for $480.
Right.
In fact, I'll bet my life he ain't writing a check for $480 million. He might write a check for $48 million each year for 10 years, $24 million each year for 20 years. But that's not how that works, having friends that work in the donations department at Syracuse. But this, to me, strikes me as, look, if I do like the new league that the Big 12 is going to be, the more I look at it, maybe it's just like, hey, got no other choice. Find a reason to like it. But I actually do like the potential of the league. Definitely love it in basketball. But I think if there's something to take away from this about Kansas, if you are having your eyes wander around about would the Big Ten, which is the popular choice amongst Kansas fans, the football stadium they have is not good enough. They're going to have to upgrade the stadium. And I wonder, I will tell you this, if I start hearing, hey, we're working on the stadium again, when remember that got killed right away when Jeff Long came to town,
yeah.
And then people mocked the Shea and Zinger for it. They said, oh, that's just him trying to save his job. If we start hearing about that in the next 6 to 12 months, to me, I wonder if that's not the prerequisite to go get on the Big Ten's radar.
I wonder. I mean, that maybe there'd be some back channeling going on. But boy, I tell you what, I've been here a long time, and except for the maintenance repairs, look, they did put the new the coaches' offices and the weight room, that new facility that's at the bottom of the hill before you get to the stadium. But whenever they've talked about major upgrades there, it happened with Lou Perkins. And when they were going, to bowl games, including the Orange Bowl, and then through Shane Zinger and Jeff Long, it's never happened. It's never happened. Not in the major way. Not in the way that you see other places improve and upgrade their stadium. So, look, if all of a sudden you see cranes out there and they're they're making things, adding structure or adding seats, that maybe that is a tip off that something's going on. But it's never happened in the time that I've been here. And in fact, I can think of a handful of times when Kansas has needed a stadium as large as the one it has in terms of capacity. I think you can be a championship level program if in a 50,000 seat stadium, but it has to be a great stadium. It has to be phenomenal stadium, and I'm not sure Kansas has that.
No, I don't think they do. I see like 45,000. I see like what Baylor has built right where Memorial Field is over multiple years, and maybe even them playing, 1 year down at Sporting Park. I mean, why not now? Right, or Children's Mercy Park, excuse me.
Yep.
Why not now? Right. By the way, you know the owner of Children's Mercy Park. He probably, would help out in getting you 6 or 7 dates. Take a neutral field game, play another road game. While you're down, why not now as opposed to when Lance Leipold, hopefully, let's say things are going well, you get to an 8-win season, you go, okay, now we're going to disrupt everything and play somewhere else.
Well, let me ask you this. Does the Northwestern improvements include expanding the capacity of their stadium? Because
go ahead.
They're at like 45 to 48,000, something like that. And Northwestern clearly doesn't need more capacity. I mean, their biggest crowds are when Nebraska plays there and Ohio State,
right,
and that. So
I would doubt it. And I don't think Kansas needs to expand. They need to get seats that'll fit big asses, like today, in comfortable chairs. Right? That's what, the game day experience has to get better. I think you need more high-dollar seats, more suites or better suites. You need the luxury items that make – listen, you got to win. That goes without saying. Everyone's like, no one's going to go if you win. I know. Right? But, you tell me the thing that you can spend money on that will, in the winning process that will generate more money, for the program. There isn't one, right? Jeff Long said, hey, we got to expand the football staff. Supposedly he did that. More people. I assume that carried over to Lance Leipold. Okay, but I don't think they need more seats. I think they need the most comfortable, luxurious stadium for 45,000 people that they can build so that when they're good, 45,000 want to come and, 15,000 of them are paying a top dollar for it. But right now, what is it? You can get a season ticket for $9. I mean.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. There needs to be a better game day experience for the fan over there, and there's no comparison between Kansas, what Kansas has put into its stadium, and what Kansas State and Missouri have put into their stadiums over the last.
Create a perimeter around, and it's been a while. Back when they were good was the last time I went to a game in Kansas, so forgive me if my memory isn't perfect. But go Fenway Park, put a perimeter around that thing that you show your ticket. Long before you ever get, the hill being free. That can't continue.
Yeah.
By the way, look at
make the hill a destination place. Put a beer garden at the top of it what everyone's like, oh, it's great to go do this. And I got a buddy who's like, I go and tailgate, then I go home. I'm not staying for the game. Well, monetize that. I mean, create a great outdoor environment. Get creative on making the fan experience as great as possible. And I would say this to any school, right? Any school. My school's the worst. The Carrier Dome, I mean, it's great because it's snowy and it sucks, right, to be outside. But there's nothing going on outside that thing. Right now it's wedged right in the middle of the campus. I mean, literally right in the middle of the campus.
Right. No, you're right.
But, for a game day experience at Syracuse, it's never going to be any good. As long as they're in there. Kansas has that opportunity to create a great environment. I mean, you know, a few million dollars on the outside to create great areas out there. And, you know, I think would go a long way. The ground level apron, expand it out so you've got cool things going on. Those are the things that I think they need to do, not just tack on some more seats that aren't going to get sold anyway.
By the way, just for the numbers, Ryan Field, which goes back to 1926, its peak capacity was 55,000 from the mid-50s to the mid-70s, around 49,000 at the time that it was changed to Ryan Field in 1997. But when it's gone from 49 to 48 to 47. So it's over the years, it has even gotten smaller. I wouldn't be surprised if the renovations made it lower than that, made it 45 and just more premium seating. I'd be surprised if the renovations increased the seating capacity there.
Well, and the other reason to attract fans is if the new Big 12 doesn't sign a media contract that is of the same value as the old Big 12, Kansas is going to need, and all the Big 12 schools are going to need to maximize their revenue potential. And, you know, and we see that revenue potential every time you see Kansas on television with, 25,000 empty seats. So Kansas has a great, great advantage financially in having a basketball program that is as, you know, as popular and as wealthy as it is to fully, you know, cash in on its sports. Football's got to be better. And you've got to sell tickets, and you've got to, again, you're right, Sorens, create the experience for the fan. Now, they do have, for people that park next to the hotel there, the Oread, and you walk into the stadium from down the hill, there are outdoor, on the hillside of the outside the stadium, tents, and they've created places for fans there. There is much more of a much better fan experience now than there was, say, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago. Are they doing everything they can? I don't know. What I see more of now are in the NFL stadiums where they've created the villages, right? The villages in St. Louis for baseball, and we've seen it in New England for football. Green Bay has one for football, and you know, maybe one day we'll see it at Arrowhead if the Royals move downtown and, you know, and Kauffman comes down, and we'll see it here. But I don't know if that works for colleges the way it does for pro sports.
We'll take a break, come back, talk about Mizzou for sure, K-State as well, as they've got a big game against Oklahoma State. Probably K-State first, bigger game, at least a conference game. We'll do it next here in the program with Blair Kirkhoff.
The program with Soren Petro.
And now, here with an unlimited supply of misinformation, is Mr. Know-It-All.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Talking to Blair Kirkhoff, live at Mr. Brew's Tap House, 3140 Iowa Street. Great deal now until October 3rd. Kids can enjoy a free hot dog. Today, get a beer braised bratwurst, choice of chips, fries, or your choice of a cup of spatzel. Served either with the cheese sauce and fried onions or the Hollandaise brown gravy. Great game day specials on Chiefs game days. Get six wings and a 22-ounce draft for $10 at Mr. Brew's Tap House here in Lawrence and in downtown OP. Blair, K-State, big challenge against Oklahoma State. They're a six-point dog, and Oklahoma State has looked bad. They did beat a Boise team that's supposed to be pretty good. Didn't score. Neither one of them did in the second half. Are you surprised they're a six-point dog? Do you think their quarterback play can be good enough to win that game?
That's the question, and that's why the line is what it is. I mean, Oklahoma State's got a third-year starting quarterback in Spencer Saunders, but he's not having a good season. And, of course, Kansas State's going with Will Howard, and maybe, you know, others will take snaps at quarterback. So, it worked out great against Nevada last week. That was a terrific victory for the Wildcats, and beat a good quarterback there. So, fascinating game, really deserves to be on somebody's non-streaming network. So I don't know if I would pick Kansas State in this game, but I've been more impressed with Kansas State than I have been with Oklahoma State, where they beat Missouri State, Tulsa, and then they did go to Boise and win. They got a big break on an officials call at the end of that game, but they ended up winning, and I think Kansas State is better than Oklahoma State if Skylar Thompson's the quarterback. I don't know if that's the case with Will Howard.
Yeah, that's interesting. Maybe I'm on the wrong side. I like Oklahoma State because I think Oklahoma State's shown nothing, yet they're still laying six. So I took Oklahoma State minus the points, but I'm a big Chris Klieman fan, so I'm not going to be shocked if I take another L in that one. What about Missouri? Now a point and a half at Boston College. Quarterback's out for BC. The coach pretty much said, well, I don't like playing this game. I don't know that really fires up the troops. What do you make of that?
Well, I love, as we've talked about, I love Eli Drinkwitz's honesty in situations like that. You know, he said earlier this week that, you know, if it were up to him, they wouldn't be playing because it doesn't help Missouri's recruiting. So, listen, Boston College returns the game, I think, in 24, and Missouri.
Amidst a Buffalo and a UMass other non-con games. How pissed is he going to be in 24?
Right. Exactly. But they do have K-State coming on the schedule and Kansas. So they do, and Illinois. So they do have the Midwestern schools as future non-conference opponents. You know what? Boston College, they've beaten, what, Colgate, UMass, and Temple. And you know, not look great in any of them. But we don't know about Missouri either. You can't tell from last week with beating SEMO like it did. And in the one true test they've had, they lost to Kentucky. So we're still learning about Missouri, still trying to figure things out. But what a critical two-game stretch this is, right, with Missouri with at BC and then Tennessee coming to Columbia the following week.
Yeah. No, it is. It's you know, this is where they're going to make their head. This is a game like you're like, this could be a toss-up game. But you had them splitting at least Kentucky and BC, right? Now that you lose Kentucky, I think you got to beat BC, for it to be the kind of season people think it's going to be. Blair, great stuff as always, buddy. We appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
Sounds good.
Blair Kirkhoff from the Kansas City Star. He's brought to you each week by Robert Brogdon Buick GMC, I-35 in Santa Fe, online at robertbrogdon.com or at Mr. Bruce Tap House, 3140 Iowa Street. Great special going on for you today. Beer Braised Bratwurst, choice of chips, fries, or choose a cup of spatzle served with cheese sauce and fried onions or a Hollandaise brown gravy. It's just $8.10. Get it at Mr. Bruce.
Time for our Deli Fresh End of the Hour Question, sponsored by Good Sense. Chosen by KC Sandwich lovers for 30 years. Good Sense, not because it's easy, but because it's better.
All right, Tony Mandarich, 55 today, second overall pick in 89. Only one Michigan State player has gone higher in the common draft era. Who is it? Brought to you by Good Sense.